Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and also with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. And then we've got some great walleye trolling tips for you from walleye tournament pro Tony Puchot. And then lastly, we're talking with Desmond Bennett from Hayward here, talking about women's fishing events. Lots to cover on this week's show, coming up right after these messages.
You could literally drive to a boat show every weekend. Hi, this is Johnny from Hayward Power Sports. Go ahead, have some fun, check them out, then come see us. Their salesmen want you to believe that they get the best prices from the manufacturer and are offering show-only deals. The truth is, our sales volume allows us to buy boats at the same discounts as the big city dealers. And Hayward Power Sports has a huge selection of new Lund and Tracker fishing boats. Plus, we have our largest selection ever of pontoons in stock with gorgeous Benningtons and the number one selling pontoons in the world, Sun Tracker. Hayward Power Sports also carries every major outboard with Honda, Yamaha, Evinrude, Suzuki, and Mercury, with the best warranty offers of the year going on now. And while the boat show finds you the best financing for the dealer, we work with our banks to get the best financing for you. Our boat show is continuous, so come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I got a couple of guys in here, a couple of Hayward area guides, Steve Jensen, who works down here part-time, and then we got Tim Duffy, and good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jim.
You know, we're starting to get signs of spring showing up here. The days are getting longer, and we got a little bit of warmer weather coming, Steve.
Yeah, signs of spring, but we still got a lot of snow and a tons of ice out there, John. It's been a really thick year for ice, up to 30 inches on some of the lakes, well over 2 feet on most of them. But the fishing has been a little bit tough, but we're still catching fish, that's for sure.
You know, you hear a lot of guys are heading out, though, too. You know, as far as what they're after, the crappies, walleyes, what?
Yeah, most guys are pan fishing now, John. Most of the walleye bite is pretty slow. There's a few guys still trying for them, and they're getting a couple on the clear lakes, the bigger lakes. But honestly, most of the guys are focusing on crappie and bluegill, and there are still a fair amount of guys going out after the pike.
Well, by the time this airs, you're getting into March, and that'll be closed anyhow. So.
Yep, exactly. So game fish season is coming to an end, and then it's pan fish season for the month of March and even into April. I have a feeling we'll have ice for quite a while. You know, we have 24 plus inches on a lot of lakes, so it's going to take a little while for that to thaw.
You can go pretty fast, though, too. I mean, Tim, I know some of the best ice fishing out there is for panfish is in the late spring.
Yeah, I was talking to Eric Tui yesterday, and it's like, you know, it's you pass mid time in the winter months, so you start thinking about turkey hunting and open boat, but there's a lot of really good ice fishing left. I mean, some of the best stuff I like is because you'll get those warmer days. The bite tends to pick up a little bit more, but I like those days where it's 40 degrees and you're sitting out there in a lawn chair, mm-hmm. kicking back and pulling a big slab crappie.
Well, usually the fish start coming up too. Up till now, they've been kind of hanging on the bottom, right?
And I'm actually already seeing, John, where fish are really starting to rise a lot here. Even in the last 7 days, I'd say I've seen a big change on most lakes that I'm fishing. Seeing fish coming up, even under the ice on a couple places that I'm fishing. So that's starting to already happen. I think the longer, you know, the daylight, the longer days are probably part of that deal, because obviously there isn't nothing melting yet, and it's still been cold, but we're still definitely seeing some fish fish rising up, and they're getting a little bit more active too here in the last week or so.
Yeah, so when you were out fishing the other day, so you had a couple of days there, are you seeing like big differences between one lake or the other?
Well, yeah, we had this talk, or
on the same lake, one day it's dino, and the next day you go, what the heck?
So I have seen actually both of those things happen to me this week. One lake that I've been fishing very consistently all winter was ice cold. We literally fished most of the day and caught zero fish, a couple little tiny panfish, no keeper fish at all, and I made a move over to a lake that you and I both fish, and in the last hour and a half of the day, we had a really good catch of some beautiful bluegill and some nice crappie. Went back there yesterday for an evening bite with a group, and it was, again, night and day. There was still a lot of fish there. We caught plenty of fish, but all smaller fish, and we did not do nearly as well. So it really does change day to day. You just got to keep hopping and moving until you find them.
What I found on that one body of water is that, you know, one day we'll do really good with northerns, and then, you know, maybe fewer crappie and bluegill. The next day, you get more crappie, bluegill, and fewer northerns. And the situation you were telling me about, the fish that were dropping, we had one day we caught every fish we had on, northerns. And the next day, I'm going, what is going on here? No minnow.
So that's what we had yesterday was, I think I had six or eight flags, and we caught none of the fish. They either got the minnow off or dropped it very quickly. We were seeing them go up. It's not like we were waiting too long or anything like that, but they just were really lethargic or whatever they're doing.
And some of us were screamers. Yeah. So you're sitting there going, they got to be there. And then you're going to go, what the? Nothing after all of that?
Well, Steve, you know, when you get that type of situation like we had this winter, you know, I mean, I don't think we've got an oxygen problem out there.
No, not at all.
Is it, you think we just came into the winter with just so much food in the lakes with all the bug hatches and stuff we had?
Food is definitely a factor, especially on this particular lake that we're talking about here. There is a lot of bug life out there, and they're eating it. And it's during key portions of the day, so you'll see that early and late day bite where the fish do get more active. But honestly, I do think it's hard to catch a fish that's full, and a lot of these crappies out in the basins, they got a full tummy a lot of the time, John. So if you're not there at the right time, you'll see them, but you won't necessarily catch them.
And you guys think that there's no bug hatches and things going on in the winter. That's not true.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Yeah. And I think not only the bugs, I think there's a bunch of little minnows or bluegills out there also.
About that too,
you can see them. I mean, I'm watching. It's almost like you got interference on your unit. Have you seen that?
Which,
it's
just
like
little blips.
What the heck? And it's like it goes from the bottom and it just rises up. And
think that's zooplankton, maybe?
I think it's a little either tiny perch or tiny bluegill, because it does look like they're swimming in a lot.
And then we could actually see the bigger marks in that. You know, it's like a 2-foot band that's rising, and they must be chasing bugs or something, because they're going up in the water column. But you can pick fish out of that in there that are bigger, and there'll be big crappies or bluegills mixed in that. You got to pick them out of there. So very strange, but it can affect the bite. A guy that knows how to work them.
And actually what I've seen here now in the last few days is where it was taking us to barely move the jig and hardly have any movement at all. Now the key is to really move it a lot and take it away from them. The faster you can move it, and the more you can get them to move, the more bites you're going to get.
So, responsive strike.
Was I telling John that
the other day that the guys who are really working it and really lifting and taking away, you could draw those crappies 10 feet.
But in a week's time, was I telling you that, or was I telling Steve that, is that we did better off just letting the bait sit on the bottom, and then, which is very strange, and then all of a sudden you feel it dunk. Yeah. And it'd be a bigger bluegill.
It was weird for a while,
and I've never done that.
Now they're definitely chasing a lot more.
Wow, interesting stuff.
So here, all this stuff, you're going, in a week's time, what are you talking about? But the thing is, if you're aware of it all, you can kind of put it together and say, do this, and catch fish. But it's definitely tough.
I think it's just, it can't get it doing anything but get better, I think, Steve.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. The weather's here, the time is right.
Well, Steve, I know you guys are all gearing up here. You guys have been working overtime just trying to set up for the spring and summer, too. So if anybody's looking for not only ice fishing gear, but for turkey hunting or anything else.
The process is on. We're starting to reset the store a little bit. I'll get a bunch of the spring stuff out. And obviously, in another week or two, that'll be happening even more so. And we're ready to rock. And, of course, turkey season is coming. Guys should be getting their licenses, and we have all the stuff for that, too.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on. Right now, we do need to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. We come back, we've got an interview with one of the walleye tournament guys and more on your outdoors. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is fishing guide Tim Duffy out of Hayward. And, we're talking about trolling a lot of times, Tim. We talk about trolling, and it was, now that we've got trolling available, it's a whole new aspect to going out and catching fish.
Oh, you know, for all species of fish, I'm glad. Do we know yet if we're going to get more lines soon?
We're going to have three lines per boat is what we're going to
have. No way.
Yep, yep.
Because it was...
For three the guy, lines maximum.
Yeah, boat. One guy can have a pole.
You're right.
Yeah, so before it was like, okay, two people could have a boat, but the guy's going to sit there and,
right.
And a lot of times I like to snap and kind of figure out what's going on. So thank goodness that's at least coming about. Up on Lake Superior or Grindstone, some of these other lakes, you can have, three lines
per person. Yeah.
But at least on some of these other lakes, at least you're allowed one line, three lines if you've got three people in the boat, which is nice.
Well, and then trolling, the one thing about trolling, the guys have been doing it for years. The guy I'm going to have on here talking is an older interviewer I got with one of the guys from down there in the Madison area, Tony Puccio. He owns Bait Rig Tackle Company, and he also guides some, but he fishes a lot of pro tournaments. Let's hear what he has to say about trolling, and he has good tips for, some of the things we need to learn even. You guys, when you're fishing these pro tournaments, you rely quite heavily on rigs and trolling.
We do. And I'm not talking trolling crankbaits, but I'm talking about trolling spinners, crawler harnesses with inline weights. But probably the most popular and the most effective is the old bottom bouncer with a spinner and a crawler, spinner and a leech, spinner and a minnow. You can cover so much ground, key on certain depths, and when you're in fish, it's easy to go back through them, And it's a very versatile way to fish. And I'll tell you, what's really popular nowadays, too, is the bottom bouncer with a slow death rig. You want to be doing 0.8 to 1.2, that slow death rig with a half a crawler, get that spinning. That slow death hook that Mustad makes, it works really, really well. And that bait, none of those baits, I don't care what kind of spinner you're pulling, it doesn't discriminate. It won't only catch walleyes. It'll catch muskies. It'll catch perch, crappies, bluegills. Everything that's down there will hit live bait. We know that. But the most important thing about fishing a bottom bouncer is the angle of the line from the rod tip to the water. You do not want to drag a bottom bouncer.
You want the line more straight up and down.
We want to stay between 60 degrees to straight down. In other words, if you let the bottom bouncer out too far, you'll drag it and you'll stir up the bottom. The bottom of the bottom bouncer, you want that wire telling you what's down there. I don't care what kind of line you use today, all the lines are great lines, whether it's a fire line or a mono, you will feel the bottom with the tip of the bottom bouncer. And that also helps keep that spinner off the bottom, 6-7 inches, because most of your bottom bouncers are 10 inches. You can pull stick baits behind them too, a floating Rapala. Anything that doesn't dive. But the key is the angle. You do not want to put the bottom bouncer behind the boat like a Lindy weight.
Yep.
It's not a Lindy weight. It's a bottom bouncer. And most of your bottom bouncers, some of them are made with spinnerbait wire. They'll tend to bend a little easier. You want to try to key on the bouncers that are made with stainless steel wire. And us at Bait Rigs, we learned that a long time ago. We switched probably 15 years ago. All our bouncers are made with 42,000 stainless wire. You can drop that bouncer, it won't bend. because the stainless is a little springy. So very important. If you're bottom bouncer, if the bottom of the wire, from the bottom of the lead to the bottom of the wire, is bending and making your bottom bouncer like an L on the bottom, you have a wire bouncer, and that's what you don't want. You want to keep that wire nice and straight so that the tip of the wire senses the bottom. As you're moving, you'll tell if you're in gravel, you'll tell if you're in mud or sand, and if you're in shallow sand like we fish a lot in the spring, you'll feel the ripples in the sand through the tip of that bouncer. And you know, the size of the bottom bouncer doesn't matter. You use the size of the bottom bouncer by weight to keep your bait in that 45 degree, 50 degree angle or less so that you fish it properly. So if you got to, you know, if it's windy and you got to use a 3 ounce weight, then use a 3 ounce weight. The fish don't swim up there and say, oh, there's a big bouncer. They don't see that bouncer. They see what you're pulling behind it.
Tony, we're talking about these things, and I assume when you're talking about using rigs, dragging rigs, or trolling rigs, either one, you're looking, using those to search for fish first, and maybe after you find fish, you tend to settle down on a spot with more typical?
I do, especially if you get into rocks, because it's easier to vertical jig rocks than it is to pull bouncers through them. Because sometimes, you know, what's funny is that most of my rigs I make with number four or number two hooks. Walleye has a good size mouth, and if you put a fat crawler on a number six hook, there's no gap left. So take it from me, folks, small is not better when it comes to crawlers.
You always talk about littler hooks with crawlers or leeches, but you're saying going the other way.
For me, I don't even own a number six hook in my tackle box. I fish my walleyes with fours and twos and ones.
Makes sense.
You know, if I'm fishing big minnows, I want a big hook, because I want some gap. You got to have that hooking power. You take a 4-inch red-tail chub or a 4-inch sucker and you're working for walleyes, you got to have some penetration. You got to be able to get that hook set. If I got a big minnow with a number six hook, you know, he could eat the minnow. I could pull that hook right out of his mouth, you know. So it, to each his own, but, you know, this is my experience over the years, and I've caught a lot of walleyes in my life. I've been fishing them since I was 5 years old. You know, and it's, you know, I like red hooks and I like bronze hooks. I'm not a chartreuse hook man or a glow hook man. I love my favorite. When I'm fishing leeches, I try to get the blackest leech I can find, because black in water has a nice profile, bigger profile. And red hooks. I don't know what it is. I'm just, my brain, I've had so much luck in the past and every year for the last 10 years. Red hooks with black leeches has been a killer for me.
And once you, like I said, you find fish with you get on a bunch of fish with the rigs with rigs, you kind of sit down with a slip bobber or jig sometimes.
You can, you know, there's no more, I mean, to fish rock bars, there's no better way to fish them than, you know, with a 16th ounce slow poke and a leech or a minnow and a slip bobber. And, you know, and you can find those areas. You know, you get into an area where I go through and catch a fish, or you get two on, you go a little further, turn around, come back, and you get a couple more or another one, you know, throw the buoy out, come back, anchor up, and give it 20 minutes or so, and sometimes you'll limit out in no time. Fish tend to hang, you know, walleyes tend to hang in schools. But some days, and it's happened to me many times, but not all the time, you'll go through and you'll catch a walleye. Nice one, 2-3 pounder. You'll turn around, go back through, nothing, go back, you know, you'll work it and you won't get nothing. Well, then that school of fish or that group of walleyes was on the move, you know, and they're constantly foraging. That's what they do.
Yeah, you bet. They're predator fish. And I know one thing, you mentioned the slowpoke jig. That is actually a pretty effective jig, because it does drop a little bit slower.
It does. It's a weight center jig, so all the lead's not one spot. So with a plastic on it or a minnow on it, it tends to fall very subtle in the water, and it's always in a hook set position, because of the angle and the way the jig is designed. And it's been a very good jig. It's great in shallow water and rocks and weeds. We also make the slowpoke with a weed guard. You know, that's very popular in your part of the country.
Right, you bet it is. A lot of Wisconsin fishermen fish weeds. You know,
and rocks, yeah, and weeds.
Yeah, a little everything. Those fish live wherever they want to live.
Exactly. You know, and of course, every lake has, in the summertime after the bait, you know, is hatched and it's out moving around, there's always a suspended bite. Don't ever be afraid to drift across a lake, set some baits out with slip bobbers that are one down 10 feet, fish the thermocline, you know,
Right.
And just drift across through there because fish are migrating and the walleyes are following those schools. Not every walleye lives on a rock bar. Not every walleye lives on the edge of a weed bed. There's a certain amount of fish in that body of water that can be out suspended chasing bait. So never overlook that on any body of water.
Any particular time of the day other than evenings that you see, or evenings are a good time when to narrow down a good bite?
Well, you know, they say walleyes are a night feeder. Well, you know, they feed during the day too. Especially the warmer the water, the more active they are. And it doesn't take long for them to digest. You know, they fill their belly up in a couple hours, they're ready to eat again. But there's nighttime spots and there's daytime spots on certain bodies of water, you know. So smaller lakes like we're at Moose, you know, there's certain rock bars that the fish come to every night because the bait goes there. And them walleyes aren't stupid, they know it. But there's certain times of the day where they'll be out moving and they might be chasing weed lines.
One of the things I've noticed, and maybe you've seen this too, is that in the summertime when you've got bugs hatching, a lot of times
they'll feed on the surface like a smallmouth.
But in the afternoon when that larva starts coming out of the bottom, and maybe in the middle of the afternoon, those fish get active down there.
They will, and they'll follow that larva right to the top. Believe me, I've seen on a lot of lakes, and on your depth finder, you know, if you've been on a lake before and you went through an area that you know the bottom was a soft bottom, and then you come through and you see all these humps on the bottom of your depth finder, you say, God, did they grow a rock bar here? No, that's the larva hatching, and it looks like a rock pile down there.
Right.
And you want to fish those areas when you find them. If you know a spot that was always flat, and all of a sudden you're marking humps on the bottom down there, like a solid mass, those are larva hatching. And they're coming up slow, and those fish know it, and they'll be around there.
Well, it's interesting talking about trolling, and that's, you know, there are a few guys we see out on the big lakes dragging like crawler harnesses and stuff, but that's a big thing with him is crawler harnesses, bottom bouncers.
Yeah, I know. I don't do a lot of the crawler harnesses, but I do a lot of, you know, I got downriggers, planing boards, and all that stuff, but the most of my trolling is the simplest, softest way. Throw the bait out behind the boat, and drag it around, and me and you have done that on Nelson Lake and some of these other lakes, and it can be very productive. The key is how much line goes out and a bait that's going to get to where you want to be and where the fish are, and you can have a blast. And I've done it walleye fishing, middle of the day, bright sun, no wind. When they come up, you know, that water gets up in like the 68, 69, even 70 degrees. Those fish are coming up off the bottoms, food's up off the bottom, and you can catch those fish right in the middle of the day. I'm talking Clearwater Lakes,
right.
And it's a blast.
You bet. Well, you know, I'm going to take another break right now and hear from some of our sponsors again. When we come back, I've got another interesting little short interview, and we'll do a wrap-up with Tim on the show.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Mayrie, and helping out today is fishing guide Tim Duffy. And Tim, you know, we're seeing a lot of women out there. They're maybe single women. They're getting into the sport now.
Yeah, not only single women.
Hunting and fishing.
Yeah, not only single women, but just women in general. It's like, you know, when I was married, I wanted to have everybody in the family do it. And they were all girls.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that was more enjoyable and fun to have, you know, like a... It's almost like your own hunting party, you know? And I liked doing the tracking and setting the stuff up, and they enjoy doing it. But definitely, too, there's, you know, all types of married or single women out there doing it. I think it's great, you know?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of the single women out there maybe don't know, or if their husband doesn't hunt, they don't know how to go out and find anybody to hunt. There are some women's groups out there, and I had a chance to talk to this young lady here in Hayward here, Desmond Bennett. she's involved with doing some of that stuff when it comes to getting more women outdoors and mentoring and helping people out. So let's hear what she had to say. It's a little short interview, and we come back, we'll have a wrap up on the show. We're talking to Desmond Bennett. And Desmond, you are organizing some, working to organize some women's fishing events out here in the Hayward area.
I am. I'm a member of Wisconsin Women Fish, so I'm looking forward to a women's crappie tournament we'll have out at Deerfoot Lodge. And then I'd love to help start organizing a couple more things here in town for women, young, whatever age.
I know there's been some musky events for women. A lot of women are getting out there, and I run into them all the time. That are maybe single women that just don't, you know, they want to get out there in the outdoors, but they don't know how to go about it.
Exactly. And the things like Wisconsin Women Fish or the Ladies Muskie Fishing School that happened back in the fall, all those events make breaking into fishing, ice fishing or open water, a lot easier for women, even if you don't have someone showing you the ropes right away.
Well, there's local groups, and that's what you're working on right now, but there's also some national groups, I think, out there, isn't there?
Absolutely, yep. It's really a growing thing for women in the fishing arena.
How does anybody get a hold of you or get a hold of anybody locally here to get information, any of the women out there want to get out and do it?
You could check out Wisconsin Women Fish. They've got websites. They're online. There's also the Women Anglers of Minnesota. And then anyone's always welcome to reach out to me on Facebook, or you can reach me on my email at dxbennett@gmail.com.
And, you know, are you just starting fishing, or you've been fishing for a long time?
Just 2 years, but what I lack in knowledge, I make up for in enthusiasm.
Got into the hunting aspect yet or not?
I went out my first time this past fall, and I can't wait to learn more.
You know, and that's what I see all the time. I mean, there's a young lady that goes to church out where I go to church, and she loves to get out in the lake or the woods hunting, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think she likes to get out fishing. She just doesn't run into anybody.
That's how it goes. Send her my way. I'd love to get all the women together that aren't sure about this, that might not have the gear, and, you know, learn about what it is and see if this is something fun for you. Because I haven't met one person yet that I've taken out fishing and they don't want to be there. They didn't have fun.
Thanks a lot, Desmond.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Well, Timmy, that was interesting listening to her. And like she was saying, there is several women's groups out there now. And we had the big muskie school on the Flowage here last year from Deerfoot down there they put out. And there was a lot of women went to that.
Well, you know, here, it doesn't matter, you know, men or women. Usually when somebody's starting something, they don't want
to
ask.
Yeah,
but they think they're going to ask a stupid question or whatever. So who's ever teaching you, you know, and with me, there's no stupid question. And not asking, it's going to take you longer where you could talk to somebody, get the information, be doing it properly, and be in the game. I talked to a guy one time turkey hunting, and he was talking about shooting a turkey, and it rolled over, flapped his wings, and flew away. And I said, well, what were you shooting at? And he goes, well, 8 shot. And I went, no way. I said, those birds are tough. I said, you got to use a high base, you know, 6, 4, yep. Something like that. So he could have had his turkey, but I think he didn't want to ask.
Didn't know.
He didn't want to ask.
Well, yeah, you know, and we've got a lot of information out there on the internet now, but still having one-on-one with people, working, interacting with people. We need people out there to work and communicate with each other nowadays and try to teach each other and try to help each other out.
I've had people hear shows like this and call up, and people can call me anytime they want, and if they have any questions on something, I'll answer their questions. But people hear and they call, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, how do you do it, you know? And you know, it that's the right thing to do.
You bet. You know, it's interesting to get that going. And, you know, we've got several clubs in town. I should remind people, we got Walleye from Northwest Wisconsin. We got Muskies, Inc. We got that scope when it comes to youth. We get the Hayward Bass Club. All good opportunities to meet people, to get together and get out there and learn, you know, how to do some of this stuff.
Definitely.
You know, Tim, I know you're looking forward to the spring turkey season. You always do, too, and that'll be coming up fairly fast here, too.
It'll be coming up soon, and like I said, we still got a lot of good ice fishing left here, but when it starts getting warmer, I'm still thinking, you know, about the turkey hunt and actually going out and doing some looking around, and you know, you can find the places where they winter, but then the breeding areas are a lot of times different than where they winter. So depending on how the seasons are going to fall for the first, second, third, whatever, you can kind of determine where those birds might be, but either in their wintering areas or their breeding areas, and kind of just do a lot of scouting and checking around for that.
If they made it through the winter, we had lots of them left out there.
I've got a lot of them, so I think they made it through the winter pretty good.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on here. You want to give out your guide information?
Yeah, thanks, John. People can get a hold of me at 715 633 334-5100.
And folks, we're about out of time, but remember, if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website. There's a link to our podcast site and also to our YouTube page. We've got it on both places on the internet, so you can stay up to date with what's going on in the show, even if you miss it. We're out of time for this week, and we'll be back next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.